Welcome to Beyond Our Walls, a podcast from Fellowship Bible Church dedicated to helping you engage your world as you help others follow Jesus. Join us as we hear inspiring stories of gospel transformation from our partners and missionaries. Here's your host, Jeff Geip.
Welcome. We are here again with the staff meeting. Hey, Fellowship staff. I love doing podcasts here because we're able to accomplish two things. One, we're able to do the podcast, but you're also able to hear the amazing things that are happening inside and outside the walls of Fellowship. And today, I'm just so blessed to have the privilege to talk with Jamie Hurd from Faithfully Restored. Thank you for being here, Jamie.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, so great. I have to confess that when I met with Jamie a couple of weeks ago, we were sitting in her office and she's telling me her story and I'm just like, don't cry. Just don't cry, you big baby. I kept saying it to myself because I just met Jamie for the first time and didn't want to think less of me, but
everyone
I have to tell
cries
you,
in my office.
Yeah,
it's awesome. It's just a guaranteed thing. Yeah.
And so, Jamie, you're here to tell us about this wonderful ministry, Faithfully Restored. So first of all, tell us a little bit about your family and then how you ended up overseeing this wonderful ministry.
Absolutely, yes. Jamie Hurd, I'm one of the co-founders and executive director of Faithfully Restored, and my husband Daniel. We could walk to the church. We have. Annie, our youngest, is 7, and she wanted to walk one day. Well, she scootered. I walked. And I thought it was a great idea until halfway here, I'm like drenched in sweat, and I'm like, oh gosh, this is bad. But we live right over here by the Brentwood campus, and we have a 13-year-old girl, Madeline, who loves FSM. Y'all do an amazing job. We had a 2.5-year-old son who passed away who would be 11, so I'll go into that. And then after that, we had another little girl, Annie, who's 7. So we love Fellowship, have been here 15 years. And so, yeah, it's been amazing. So Faithfully Restored, I'm one of the 4 founders. Jamie Hamilton, who also attends the Brentwood campus, is one of the founders. Heather Milburn, they're out at the Franklin campus. And then Jenny Rebecca Springer does not go here, but we cut her some slack. But she's one of the 4 founders. So Heather, Jamie, and I were in a tight friend group. And starting in our early 30s, as we started all having kids, Jamie Hamilton realized that they could not have children. And so that was our first kind of difficulty to walk through. As she's walking through that, she quickly realized that they were called to adoption. And so walking through the adoption process with her, we were young, we didn't know what we were doing, but we just knew we had to be there for her. And so they went to Florida and adopted their son, Jack. And we just did, it was all hands on deck. We wrote her notes, sent her things in the mail. When they came back, we had care packages for her, stocked her fridge, did online baby showers. We were just surrounded by a group of us that had community and showed up. And then in 2015, that summer, Heather had just turned 30 and we were swimming at my pool and she gets a call and she was diagnosed with breast cancer, had 2 young children. A lot of us had girls the first round and then 2 years later had boys. There's about 7 of us that had happened to. And so that was devastating to get an early cancer diagnosis. Her mom, her aunt, her grandma have all passed away from cancer. So she kind of knew it was coming, but really did everything she could to prevent it with seeing all the right doctors, taking care of herself, and got that early cancer diagnosis. And so again, we just rallied around her. We didn't know what to do. We showed up. I went to her house and I just said, you are going to be okay. We're going to be here for you. And took care of her young kids as they did doctor's appointments and whatnot. And then later that same year in December of 2015, I was at work and my husband was at work and 2 coworkers came to my door and said that something had happened with William and he was not breathing and I needed to go to the hospital. He had choked at lunch.
How old was William?
2.5.
2.5. Mm-hmm.
And so I instantly knew when they came up to my door, I woke up early that morning and I had just spent extra time in praying for the Lord's will to be done. And as soon as they came to my door, I was like, okay, Lord, this is what you have for me. I knew it wasn't going to be good, but I knew that he was there with me. And I mean, the way the Holy Spirit takes residency in you was felt in a way that I'd never experienced before. And I had such a peace of knowing that the Lord was there and that this outcome was not going to be what I wanted, but I knew that the Lord was with me. And so I actually got to the hospital before the ambulance And as soon as I met the ambulance there, they took William out, and I just looked at his little eyes and I just knew that he was already gone. And I knew he was with the Lord. And we were at Williamson Medical Center and his heart was not beating. It was like the 11th or 12th round of medicine. And the doctor said, this is the last thing we can do to try to get his heart to start beating. And I had a peace that it was not going to start beating again. And so, I mean, this sounds crazy, but in this moment, this is the way the Lord worked in my spirit at this time. And I said, all these doctors and nurses are going to watch this little boy die and they're going to lose faith. And they're going to think, what kind of God has this little boy die? And I wanted in that moment to proclaim that God is still good in that moment. And so I'm rehearsing in my mind a prayer that I want to pray. As soon as they say that he's gone, I want to declare right there that the Lord is still good. And the doctor comes over, tells us one last chance. And so I'm standing there. And by this time, Tom Claggett, our small group leader, has showed up. People start showing up at the hospital to support us. And his heart started beating. The machine started. And I was kind of confused. I was like, okay. And he never had any signs of brain activity. And so even though his heart started beating, I'd never felt this, like, is he going to make it? Is he not? His heart started beating. So that was kind of confusing to me. They said, we're going to transfer him to Vanderbilt. And so I hop in the ambulance and ride to Vanderbilt. And when we get there, he is stable back on a ventilator. And the amount of people that start to show up to love on our family was just incredible. But I was also kind of confused. I remember sitting in the waiting room, and Dan Vorm has a prayer circle going on over here, and people that I know that I don't know are there. And I'm sitting there, and I kind of want to scream. I'm like, how does this all end? William's back there on a ventilator. There's never been signs of brain activity. I know in my heart that he is with Jesus. I mean, I remember standing around his body with Lloyd and different people and just praying, like, I know you're at home with our Heavenly Father. But it was so confusing because he was laying there, just looked like he was sleeping. And the next morning, someone presented organ donation to us. And the thousands of people around the country that had been praying for us, that was an answered prayer because it answered the prayers of why, it answered the next steps for us. And they kind of walked us through organ donation. And we stayed in the hospital until Monday morning. He choked on a Friday and stayed in the hospital till Monday morning. And then they wheeled him down to the transplant surgery. And that kind of answered the question of how does this end? And my prayer shifted to how many people that William could save. If he could give parents in a time that we were feeling we lost our son, if we could give parents 8 more days, 8 more minutes with their children, we wanted to do that. So I'm such a now champion for organ donation because I want other people to experience their loved ones. And so we come back from the house, we leave the transplant surgery and we come back to the house, and there my friends had written letters, done care packages, and showed up at my door. And I thought, well, it's my turn now to receive all this care and support that our group of friends, now it's my turn. And so that was in December. And then 6 months later in May, someone called me and they said, we have a friend, her 8-year-old son just passed away in a car accident. What were some things that people did for you that we could do for Jenny Rebecca? So I didn't know her. She lives in Meadow Lake, just a couple miles down the road. And instantly my heart sunk. I was only 6 months since William passed away, and I just knew the dark road ahead for her. And so I kind of named some meaningful support, and I wrote her a note and sent her a book that I'd loved. And in my note, I said, I'm only 6 months ahead of you. This is really hard, but you are going to be okay. And I'm here if you need anything. And so I sent that to her and she reached out to me. And the way the Lord has used, even though both of us are surrounded by community, never felt alone in it, the way the Lord has used that friendship in a powerful way of both having lost a son has just been incredible. And so as those years past, kind of walking through those deep valleys, we became like magnets for stories of of child loss, of cancer diagnosis, of infertility, adoption. And so Heather, Jamie, and I would constantly be like, can you pray for this person? We heard of this. Can you pray for this person? And it was during our series on James, Act of Faith, and I felt the Lord be like, you hear of all these women hurting. You're praying for them, but you can do something else. And so I remember coming to church every Sunday, and I was teaching at the time. I had my dream job. And I remember sitting there like, okay, like I do think there's something else that I need to be doing. The cool thing is Jamie, Heather, and I were all hearing these messages. So we were sitting in church together, all hearing James and felt this calling. And so we were like, you know what? Let's meet once a month. We'll write down women that we hear about. We'll send them notes like our friends did. We'll send them care packages and just let them know they're loved, they're not alone, and there's hope in Jesus. Because we had people doing that for us. And so we asked Jenny Rebecca to join us, and she was like, absolutely. And so we come on my back porch one night. We're like, okay, this is not going to be a girls' night. This is not going to turn into a social hour. We're not going to have wine. We're going to like sit here. And we're going to have a purpose. And we were super intentional from the beginning and really try to stay spirit-led. And what is the Lord calling us to in this? And that was kind of late 2018 into 2019. And the spring of 2019, we're like, you know what? Our husbands were also encouraging us. You can't help every single person. Maybe you should ask for support. And we're like, okay. And so we're like, well, we'll start a nonprofit. We had no idea how to do that. Googled how to start a nonprofit. Someone the other day was like, what attorney did you use? I was like, you don't need an attorney to start a nonprofit. We didn't use an attorney. And I was like, there's a checklist. So we paid the funds. And ever since we said yes to what we felt the Lord was calling us to, the second we totally surrendered, he's like, I've got you. I've got you every step of the way. And so that's kind of the backstory in starting Faithfully Restored. And our whole mission is, our mission statement is through hope in Jesus. And I always pause there because that is how we're getting out of bed. That is how we are able to help others. We are comforted so that we can comfort others. And so that is why.
Can we stop just for a minute?
Yes.
Because you've said a couple of things that have really are so important. And the first, you started telling us how the presence of Jesus mm-hmm. from the very beginning, and that just seems to continue all the way through your story. Was there something in your rhythm that you were doing daily that inviting that in, or is it just happening?
Well, that's such a good point, because whenever I talk about my response to losing William, it sounds like, whoa, like why? It sounds kind of shocking. She was praying for to a prayer. But I can look back now and see the Lord was preparing me literally my entire life up until that moment of losing a son. And I was raised in church. I want my kids to have a very different raised in church beginning than I did, because I was raised in church. I went off to college, was not walking with the Lord. No one was looking at me as to model life after. And luckily, I got out of college alive and had such shame and guilt and all of that. And 3 months before Daniel and I got married, my dad killed himself. And I was raised primarily by my dad. My parents were divorced in fifth grade, and I went to live with my dad. And so that was a crushing loss to me. Now, I had graduated college, I'd moved to Atlanta, and I was attending Andy Stanley's church at the time. And I was also, I had attended a small group, and someone said, you need to go to counseling. I was venting about issues with my dad, and they said, you need to go to counseling. And I was like, I don't really know what I'm going to say. And someone said, make sure it's a Christian counselor. Looked, I think it was a phone book. This, yeah.
Phone books?
I know. This sounds like not that old. But I physically remember looking in something. And going through a list, I found one Christian counselor that took my insurance. His name was Gene, and it was $75 a time. And I just got my first teaching job, and I was like, this is a lot of money. For 1 hour, $75. Best decision of my life, because for the 6 months before my dad killed himself, I was in Christian counseling. And the first day I got to counseling, Gene said, I'm going to get you to a place of whatever your dad says or does doesn't have such a hold on you. I didn't even know what he did. I mean, I look back now and see some unhealthy things there, But when my dad killed himself, I didn't struggle with guilt. Gene literally did what he promised me that first day and got me to a place that I did not feel responsible. And I truly believe if I had not been in counseling for those months before, I would have been suicidal myself. I would have felt so guilty for what my dad did, because that was the only thing my dad had. That was part of it, is had that on me. And so I had attended Andy Stanley's church, changed my prayer life, and had me praying for God's will to be done. And so I was the same way I was praying the morning William died. I had learned that right before my dad died, and that's what I was praying. But when my dad died, I was like, you know what, Lord, if that's what you have for me, I really am not interested. Here I am 3 months before I get married. I was the only one of my mom and my dad, so I was left to deal with everything that is left whenever a child loses a parent, house, everything. And here I was supposed to be preparing for the best day of my life. And it was, there was so much grief attached to just kind of, you know, I thought, if this is what you have for me, I don't know why. Like, why did you do this to me? I don't get it. I really was thinking it's all about me. And I was like, why would the Lord do this to me? Luckily, married a fantastic God-fearing man. And so 3 months, that's what I stepped into, was marriage with an incredible guy, exactly what I needed. And we, before long, when moving here, came to Fellowship. And Fellowship truly, for those years after losing my dad, as we were kind of early married, I started to hear the truth preached in a way that changed my life. And so by the time, and Fellowship was such a big part of that, by the time I got to a place again that same morning that William died, when I was praying those same words, Lord, whatever it is you have for me, let it be. I truly meant it. I didn't really mean it back then. I meant, if it works out with what I've got going on here, like, I would like that. And my hands were like this. But that morning, whenever we lost William, the Lord just took me through the ups and downs of my faith and continued to grow me, continued to have me here, hearing the word of God preached in a way that changed my life so that I could truly mean what I was praying. And so there's a long backstory of getting to where I truly surrendered for the Lord's will to be done in my life. And I always like to say that, because I feel like if we're willing, the Lord will do that to us all. We can look back and see his divine providence in our life if we're willing to look. Well, I wasn't willing to look. When my dad died, it was all about me, and I wasn't willing to look. I didn't even realize, man, I was in counseling for months before. Like, I bet that helped. I was blinded. And then I realized, it's actually not about me. It's not about you. The Lord's plan is perfect and it's good. And I don't even need to understand it. Yeah. I just need to trust it.
Reminds me, I can't think of the verse by memory, but Ephesians 2:10, that we are Christ's poem, his workmanship, mm-hmm. created in Christ Jesus mm-hmm. for works that were from the foundation of the earth. Mm-hmm. You know, and so what you're sharing with us kind of makes you feel like the Bible's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so now these things in your life, you know, these broken pieces in your life, God has put back together and is now using them to help women that are going through similar or different tragedies. Why don't you share with us some of the ways that you're supporting women mm-hmm. that have gone through these things with you?
Absolutely. So Faithfully Restored takes in prayer requests from across the country through our website. And 80% of the time, that is a friend submitting for someone else. So if your aunt in Kansas just got diagnosed with breast cancer, you would log on to faithfullyrestoredwomen.com, fill out a prayer request. You fill out your information, her information, a little bit about her story. Some people tell us a lot. Some people tell us a little bit. Just kind of depends. And then our whole goal is to show them Jesus, be Jesus to them in whatever. We want them to know that no matter what they're walking through, they are loved, not alone, and there's hope in Jesus. So our care looks different for everyone. But we receive that prayer request. It comes to a member on our staff. We have 6 people on staff now. So that email comes to Lauren, and she will write you back. Thank you for that. You're immediately entered on a prayer list. So we're not just saying we're praying. We are actually, like this morning at our office, once a month, we have a prayer meeting. And those names are printed. We are praying for those women by name. And so those prayer requests come in. Lauren will write you back. So everyone that comes into our database gets a care package. Those care packages look different. We're the old Dave Ramsey building. That's where we office out of. One of our offices is almost set up like a store. And so now that we're bigger, volunteers come in. That's one way to get involved. You can volunteer and you'd come in our office and you'd get a list of about four names. It might say Jamie, loss of child, Heather, cancer diagnosis, you know, Mindy, walking through a divorce. It's a variety of different things. And so volunteers now come in and curate a care package. So we have all different things from comfort items to scripture cards, devotionals. I mean, you name it, for a woman, it is in there, and it's ever changing too. So they get to curate that care package. Everything that leaves our office has a handwritten note. And so that volunteer is writing those notes. So I know for me, as I write notes to women that have lost children, I'm reminded of the truths that I'm writing. I'm reminding it is going to be okay. The Lord will never leave me. Just the same that's true for this woman that I want her to know, the same is true for me. So our volunteers is a ministry in itself coming in. So the handwritten note, and then every package is prayed over, and then we send them from our office. And then it kind of determines, we try to stay very spirit-led in the care. I mean, people will say, well, how do you determine who gets this or who gets that? A lot of it, we really do trust the Holy Spirit into our care. So this morning, I had someone come in. Oh, actually, Caleb Weeks, he came in my office. He works for the nonprofit beside us. So he was coming in, said he met a friend, that their friend had lost a child. And they're like, oh, we need to, you know, see if they know about Faithful Restored. So he reached out and he did. We had cared for that. He said, oh, I know about them. They lost their daughter in the tornado in 2020, I want to say. And so this will just be an example of how individualized our care is. So for them, I went back and looked. I was like, I know exactly who you're talking about. We sent them around the birthday of their daughter, their family, to the Dream More Resort in Gatlinburg. So an all expense paid weekend away. When they would have been celebrating the birthday of their daughter, their family, because they still have other children, we sent them away for a weekend away. And so it can be mortgage for a widow. It can be a grieving mom or grieving family on a trip. It can be someone with infertility that has to seek treatment in Memphis. Instead of waking up at the crack of dawn, we pay for the hotel the night before their stay so they can get settled. It truly depends. We try to be very individualized of the care. And then we're also not a one and done. So as those prayer requests come in, we now have some month that we'll have 100 prayer requests. So that's 100 different stories of loss, of anxiety, depression, divorce, that we are trying to uniquely care for. So you can imagine, as we just celebrated 5 years, the first year in 2019, the whole year we had 106 prayer requests. Well, now we might have a month with 100 prayer requests. And so one of our staff members, Courtney, fellowship attendee, she now has moved into continued care. And so her sole job is to take those prayer requests and check in on people and kind of continue our care. So with loss, because of what the founders have walked through, it allows us to care in meaningful ways, because I don't have to imagine what a woman is feeling whenever they've lost a parent or a child. I know what that feels like, and I know what meaningful support looks like. Of course, everyone's different. But our process for loss is we wait a couple months to even serve that person, because right away you have a ton of support. I mean, I got cards for a month, 2 months. I mean, I wasn't even reading them, to be honest. The grief was so overwhelming. Glad they were coming. I needed them. But if you would have sent me a card, it would have been in a stack of cards. And so we wait a couple months and then provide support and send that initial care package. And then this November, we'll have close to 300 care packages that go out. So those women are prayed for again by name, sent a care package that says, we see you as you're about to experience those first set of holidays without that person, without your spouse, without your parent, without your child. That first year, those holidays are excruciating. You just kind of want them to go away. And so we also, the timing of it, we send them before, because it really, for most people, the anticipation of that holiday, that anniversary, is even worse than that day. And so we send that before their first holiday, before first Mother's Day. We had over 200 of those go out this past year. So if you lost a child, if you lost your own mom, You were prayed for by name and sent a care package a couple weeks before Mother's Day saying, we know this Mother's Day looks different for you and we are here with you. So they could have lost their child in October and we see them right before that first Mother's Day. William died in December. And so I'm on the November list. So every November, the month before my anniversary, and it'll be 9 years in December, still very hard for me. My body physically feels that grief coming on in late November. And so my name is on that November list. So I'm prayed for by name. And my name is actually on there. For the couple of years it wasn't, I would say like, if my name was on there, I was like, you know what? Actually, I'm putting my name on there. I need it. And so it was kind of cool because I wasn't in there when they did the anniversary of loss care packages. And so they really did mail it to my house. And it just, I knew it was coming and it felt meaningful. And it says, Jamie, we know you're anticipating the loss of William. We are still here with you in that. And so we do anniversary of loss care packages. So the way we continue that care is really special because the grief doesn't end. The cancer journey doesn't end. We also celebrate with people infertility. They might have a child. We have baby gifts in there that we celebrate with them. And so we want to be a part of the body of Christ wrapping around them in a way that they're seeing different ways. We also do prayer partners that kind of similar to Jenny, Rebecca, and I. We take people that want to pray for others that have gone through something, maybe they have, and connect them with prayer partners because that's powerful too. So
I could literally listen to you talk all day.
I could talk all day. So you have to rein me in.
This is so,
I love it.
So good. I just love it when we see the Lord come together. And I think you mentioned it at the beginning, 2 Corinthians 1, you know, that God comforts us with the comfort that he had given us to give to others. And I'm just so thankful for you and the ministry. And so we just have like a couple of minutes left. And for our listeners, mm-hmm. how can they get in touch with you? I'll answer that and then I'll have you answer. The best way we feel like is email us. Mm-hmm. If you go to our website, then they can fill out a form that they want to serve with you. And on that list that you'll be sending in, we'll have a list of different things.
Okay.
You know, because we really want to encourage our congregation to get involved in mm-hmm. serving because we know a church this size, there's been many people that have gone through many difficult things that have been comforted in the same way. And so is there another way that people can get involved?
Yeah, absolutely. My favorite thing to do is meet with people in my office. Like just how you came in, I love to hear their story. And I always ask like, Lord, what do you have here with Faithful Restored for this person? And sometimes it is, we need to be caring for them right now. And they want to give back in a way. And it's like, there'll be a time for that. Right now, you need cared for. And we want to be part of that. And so if someone's listening that's like, man, I could use some care. I could use some encouragement. What I'm walking through is really dark. I feel lonely in it. They can go on and submit a prayer request for themselves. Because like I said, 80% of the time, that's not the case. But every time we speak, we love to hear from the actual woman. Because think of how, what better care we can give when we are truly communicating with the person that needs the support. And so we would love to care for them. We have lots of different ways to get involved. So time, volunteers. You can go to our website, faithfulrestoredwomen.com, sign up to volunteer. It's super easy. Our volunteer coordinator sends out a sign up genius each month. And so those go out. If you want to sign up for that month, you just pick what you want to do. You can attend a prayer meeting. You can make care packages. We have lots of events that you can go to. Also, people within the church donate their talents. We have, you know, someone, her daughter has a flower shop, so she does all of our flowers for Breakfast Club. We have authors that donate their books that then we're able to put in care packages. Really unique things that people are already doing that then the Lord can use Faithful Restored to benefit. Corporate partners that we work with, there are some people that own businesses that we can partner with that way. Some people I meet with literally have money. And they want a place, as believers, we're called to give. They want a place that they can give. And so from the beginning, like I said, we didn't have any nonprofit experience. So I think that helped in that I didn't have this view of fundraising that needed to be shifted to like a Christian view of fundraising. I didn't know anything about fundraising. The first person that wanted to give an end of the year gift, I didn't even know that was a thing. I was like, whenever, yeah, whatever you want to do.
I know now. Rookie.
Yeah,
yes.
I know. It was completely like, and so I got in with Mission Increase, who is a nonprofit that helps Christian nonprofits fundraise. So my fundraising from the beginning all I want Faithfully Restored to be is a place where people feel that they can give and believe in what we're doing. And so it's been honoring to me. I haven't felt like I have had to go out and beg people for money every year. When I tell you that he has provided, he hasn't just met our needs, he's provided in abundance. Every year, the money that we have brought in has been over what we needed. And I have no doubt that he will continue to provide. Lloyd was at our event last fall and he's like, you just stood up there and said you were gonna bring in X amount of dollars. And I was like, well, I learned that from you that stood up there and said you were gonna bring in $30 million. I said, I have all the confidence. When you feel called to something and it's something that you truly believe in, and the Lord is blessing it, and such, from the beginning, we felt that. And so I want donors, I want people we serve, I want to have everyone closer to Christ through Faithful Restored in whatever way they're interacting. So we have tons of ways to do that.
Man, this has been so great. Jamie, thank you so much. Can we give Jamie a big hand? We will be praying for you that God would bring lots of people alongside you to support you.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Beyond Our Walls, a podcast from Fellowship Bible Church. For more information on our outreach ministry, visit fellowshipbiblechurch.org. We'll be back soon with another episode. Until then, let's follow Jesus together and help others do the same.